is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you experiencing grief? Grief is a universal, normal, and natural response to loss, but there can be harmful ways to deal with it. This is 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Gawn. People may tell us to move on and get over our loss. But what if we don't know how to do that? On our program, we'll help you get started and teach you how to process your grief in a healthy and safe way. Now, here is your host, Melody Gawn.
Hello, and welcome to 50 Shades of Grief. I'm your host, Melody Gawn. This program is about grief recovery and so much more. This program is designed to cause a universal heart awakening of wholehearted loving and living. Each week, you'll hear guests share their stories of how they've journeyed through grief, healed their broken hearts, and found their own unique creative expression. Our guests will be as varied as their losses, emotions, and experiences of grief. You'll hear how some of my clients have completed the grief recovery method and through ongoing life coaching have started living the life of their dreams. By hearing the stories of others, you will begin to see that recovering from loss and healing your broken heart is possible. In the first episode of 50 Shades of Grief, I provided an introduction to grief, what it is, and why we don't like to talk about it. In the second episode, we talked about the universal truth of grief. Maxwell Adey reminded us that regardless of how young or old you are, who you are, or where you come from, you will experience loss and grief in your life. Last week, we spoke with Yvonne Racine about the grief recovery method, Tools for Life. During that episode, we talked about the tools and the process of grief recovery, and the importance of self-compassion, patience, and love, and how once you learn how to use and apply the tools, they are yours for life. If you haven't listened to the earlier episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen. Each episode builds on the next, and each one is intended to support you in your journey through grief. All episodes are recorded and available for download on my website and on Voice America's website. If after listening you think I'm someone you'd like to work with as you transition through your loss experience, please send me an email or call me. Together, we can design a personalized program that is right for you. Through the wonders of technology, we can arrange phone, Skype, or email coaching sessions wherever you are. This week's show is titled Grief 101, What You Don't Learn in School. Tonight I'm going to introduce you to a young man who was taught in school what to do with his broken heart when his first romantic relationship ended. Thankfully, he didn't wait until he was 40, 50, or 60 years old to recognize that time wasn't going to heal his broken heart. He realized that he needed to take action sooner rather than later, and he did. You'll hear my client's firsthand account of how the love, loss, and life tools that he learned a little more than a year ago are a part of who he is today. You'll hear how he learned at the age of 21 to identify and complete the emotions that accrue in all relationships. Before we talk about what you weren't taught in school, let's talk about what you were taught. By teachers, parents, and possibly clergy, the elders in your life, the ones with the most influence over your thinking and behaviors. There are some basic things you were taught. You were taught how to read and write, how to interact with others, how to play together and work in groups. And if you were on a sports team or did anything of a competitive nature, you were taught how to win, but you weren't necessarily taught how to lose. You may or may not have been taught how to gracefully accept defeat. If you were on a debate team, you were taught how to make your point and fight to be right. Gone are the days of first, second, third place ribbons. Everyone's told they're a winner now. In society's attempt to seek pleasure and avoid pain, we've equalized the playing field, and we tell everyone that they're a winner. No one has to deal with losing. This is another place where society is teaching you that it's wrong to feel pain, discomfort, or sorrow. It's bad and wrong to lose. This leads to the belief that you have to win and the fight to always be right, which, by the way, is terrible for relationships. You've been taught how to acquire things, but not what to do when you lose them. And you've been taught basic first aid, but not how to heal a broken heart. There are many ideas out there that have been taught by well-meaning people, but the ideas and beliefs aren't helpful, especially when it comes to dealing with loss and a broken heart. John James and Russell Friedman of the Grief Recovery Institute have identified the most common things that well-meaning people will say to people who are faced with loss and grieving. They've categorized them and identified 6 common myths. I'll be interviewing John in a couple of weeks, and he'll tell you more about those myths. But for now, let me introduce you to some of the basic statements. As you listen, notice what you're hearing, thinking, and feeling. Are any of these statements resonating for you? Do any of them ring true for you? A very common statement that I'm sure you've heard at least once in your life, don't cry. What's being said here is don't feel bad, or in other words, don't feel the way you feel. The second one is don't worry. We'll get a new dog, or you'll find a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, a new job. What's being said here is don't feel the way you feel, and you can replace the loss. Next comes a message that when someone is hurting, you shouldn't talk to them or disturb them. You should give them space. The message here is people need to grieve alone. Then there's the misnomer that time heals all wounds, and you just need to give yourself or others time. While I do know from personal experience that the initial pain of a significant loss does subside over time, and sure, we can get used to anything, any change in a familiar pattern or behavior, but time alone does not heal your broken heart. It's what you do with that time that makes the difference. It's the actions you take. It's like if you had a broken arm. There's an initial gut-wrenching, eye-wincing pain that eventually turns to numbness. But if you didn't tend to that broken arm and take action to help heal it, you'd be left with continual pain. A broken heart is like that. The initial gut-wrenching pain will subside, and you'll learn to numb or mask your pain. But unless you take action to complete the emotional pain, your heart will remain broken forever. You might convince yourself that it's been healed, but like a broken arm, if not done correctly, the fracture will cause continual pain. There's another belief that you need to be strong for others. Parents believe they need to be strong for their children and not show weakness. While as a parent, I do agree you need to role model that everything will be okay, and you also need to be able to process your own emotions in order to be emotionally available for your children and those around you. I think there's strength in showing vulnerability. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable with those around you, you give them permission to do the same. By showing others that it's okay to feel the way you feel, and by taking action to complete your emotional pain, you give them permission to heal their own broken hearts. And last but not least, how often do you hear yourself or others say, you just need to keep busy? What does keeping busy do for you? It may provide a temporary distraction from what you're thinking and feeling, but what happens the moment you stop being busy? Are you not just flooded with the thoughts and emotions that were always there, but kept at bay by your busyness? None of these myths or ideas teach you how to take the action of discovering and completing the unfinished emotions that accrue in all relationships. None of these ideas do anything to teach you how to heal your broken heart. They just keep your emotional pain at bay, until one day the pain is more than you can bear. And when that day comes, you find yourself ready to learn to do what they didn't teach you in school. Are you starting to hear something that tells you that it might be time to learn what you didn't learn in school? The first step is to become aware of what you've been doing. You do this by identifying the patterns and beliefs you've developed as a way of coping, surviving, and avoiding or suppressing your pain. As Maxwell Adey shared in week 2, these ways of coping are developed in your early childhood years. You take your cues from the people around you, family, friends, teachers, clergy, and the media. Much of what you've been taught about recovering from a significant loss is not natural or healthy. You haven't been taught how to heal your broken heart. Last week, I introduced you to the 4 stages of learning. The first stage suggesting that individuals are initially unaware of how little they know. I gave you an exercise designed to raise your awareness and to show you how your thinking and feeling can reveal where you are emotionally incomplete. This was to prepare you for new learning. How did you do? What did you learn or notice about your habitual way of thinking and feeling? What's opening up for you? Are you ready to learn how to do something different than you've done before? I would love to hear from you, even if you're listening to the recorded version of this show. Please send me an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca and let me know. Is this show helping you? Is it providing hope that you can learn to heal your broken heart? Is it providing hope for someone you know and love that they can learn to heal their broken heart? I'm going to share something with you before I bring my guest into the conversation. 3 years ago, my oldest daughter started university. She was 17 and living at home. She started university and her first part-time job in the same week. She was excited, nervous, and scared. I was excited and a bit concerned as she stepped into this big life transition. I was also extremely thankful that she was living at home. 2 months into her first semester, my daughter was faced with a health issue that had us both concerned and a bit scared. The fact that she was at home made it easier for us to deal with what she was going through. We both learned the value of dealing with big life transitions in the moment. I was grateful to have the knowledge, tools, and wisdom to help her navigate this time of significant change. Now I'd like to paint a picture for you and ask you to step into a similar experience. Imagine you are 21 years old, you've just broken up with your first romantic love, you leave home for the first time, and you move to a new city and a new country. You're starting your first year of university in a new city, new country, and you're living in a new home. A pretty exciting time for a young adult and a bit scary and overwhelming at the same time. You've left everything that is familiar behind. Family, friends, home, city, country, routine, and lifestyle. You've given up your sense of belonging. Feeling heartbroken, lost, and confused. Not being around family and friends, and not knowing what to do about these emotions, can be a frightening place for a young adult, or anyone to be. It takes courage and vulnerability at any age to admit that you don't have the tools or the skills to deal with big life transitions, or smaller ones for that matter. My guest tonight took a big courageous step to seek support when he arrived home from his first semester at university. Not only was he heartbroken after breaking up with his longtime girlfriend, he was also dealing with 2 or more major life changes. When he arrived home after his first semester, he told his mom he needed help. It just so happened that his mom and I had chatted a month prior about the work I was doing. Once again, no coincidences, just miracles. We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, you'll hear how Chase Dobler, sophomore student at Missouri State University and professional hockey player, is using the tools that he learned and has stepped on the path of heart healing and wholehearted living.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before, to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You're listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Hello, and welcome back to 50 Shades of Grief. Before the break, I painted a picture for you of my guest and his experience of going off to university in a new city and a new town, new country, and leaving everything behind. So Chase, I want to welcome you to 50 Shades of Grief. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
I personally think that you're a real inspiration, not only for young people, but for everyone who suffers from a broken heart. And I was so excited when you called me that day to tell me that you had signed your first professional hockey contract. I know that that's something that you lived for and you've worked really hard for. And I'm just so excited that you made it, and your success is our success. So I've already painted the picture for the listeners. And that picture was how you had broken up with your girlfriend, moved away from home, started university, and living in a new city. And then you came home and you told your mom that you needed help, that you were having a tough time getting over your girlfriend. I'm wondering if you can start us off by sharing how you felt when you came home.
Well, quite honestly, when I first came home there, I was struggling with a lot. When I left, I was running away. I really was. There's two ways to look at that, and I was either chasing my dream or I was running away from something, and I was definitely running away from something. She obviously left me in a bad way, and I didn't have any closure, and so, I wanted to be away, and it felt good to be away. And then when I got on that plane and I came back home, it didn't really feel too good coming back home, because everything I saw, everything that I heard, everywhere I went, everywhere I drove, it just, all of it, it all reminded me of her, and it made me feel terrible. And so it wasn't as enjoyable as I would have liked my first visit to be home. So.
And do you remember, what were you thinking or feeling about as far as being able to get over her?
I never really thought I was going to be honest with you. I always thought to myself that, she was the one for me, and she was the one that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And, I told myself that from literally the first month that we had been together, and I never stopped believing that. And then, when she finally decided to leave me, I just really felt like I was never going to pick myself up the way that some people talk about, they lose the first one and then, only time helps and then they find another one. And I really did not believe that. I just always thought that I was going to be in a hole and I was never going to get out of it, because she was the only one for me and there was no one else there for me.
So she stole your heart, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember when your mom suggested that you and I might work together, and what you were thinking or feeling then?
Yeah, well, she had suggested a few times before that, maybe you need to go talk to somebody, and, I always said, no, I'm fine, I did a little bit of, I guess you can call it therapy or counseling with a couple of people when I was younger, and I knew how that went, and I pretty much had to sit there and talk about my feelings, and nothing really, you know, came about it, and I was still pretty much left with, you know, the same person that I was, and nothing was getting better. And so I was just like, I really don't want to do this. And I talked with my dad about it, and he goes, well, you know, your mom, that's, you know, that's what she wants you to do because she thinks there is a problem, but, you know, there isn't a problem. But really deep down inside, I knew there was a problem. And, you know, I thought that, you know, even all those things that I was thinking, you know, it's at least worth a shot that I at least give it a try, because if I don't, then, you know, I could spend a lot of years being exactly the way that I was.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we did first talk, there was commitment by you right away, and I think that's just a part of who you are. Now, you didn't get to be a hockey player without the discipline and focus and responsibility that you have. But
yeah,
there was
sure.
There was obviously something that you saw possible when we talked. Do you remember what that was?
No idea, of course. Just, you know, I've always had a knack for when I first meet people, you know, within the first 60 seconds, just the demeanor and the character that they have, and, you know, how they talk to somebody. And, you know, I just felt that just the type of person that you were, the things you were saying to me, I just, you know, I firmly believed that it was going to be different. And, you know, right away, you made me believe that, you know, that I can really take a step in the right direction. You can really help me with that. So, you know, I was obviously a little hesitant at the start there, but, you know, once I really got to know you and the things you started telling me, obviously, yeah, I just, you know, when I believe in something, yeah, like you said, the whole hockey thing, it's just, you know, both feet in as quick as you can, and you just commit to it wholeheartedly, and, you know, I'm really glad that I did.
And you sure did. You threw yourself into it. We worked through the program quite quickly because you were on your Christmas break, so we didn't have the luxury of a full 7 weeks to take you through the program, but you did fantastic work. The first time we met, I introduced you to the 6 myths of grief, and I'm going to remind you what they are. Don't feel bad. Replace the loss, which you already mentioned. Grieve alone. Just give it time. Be strong for others, and keep busy. And you mentioned one or two already, but do you remember which ones resonated for you and what you first thought when you learned that what you had been doing might not necessarily be the right thing?
Right, yeah. Well, the two biggest ones for me were, you know, don't feel bad and be strong for others. You know, the thing growing up, obviously, you know, this line of work that I'm in, you know, being a professional athlete is no easy feat, and something my father always taught me, you know, from a very young age is, you know, if you want to be in this type of profession, you have to be tougher mentally and stronger mentally than anyone else is, and nobody can see your weaknesses. And so I was always, you know, I lost dogs, I lost, you know, friends, I lost people that were really close to me, and nobody ever saw a chink in the armor. And, you know, that was because I was always being strong for others. And, you know, any time that I did things, you know, I never felt bad for anything. On the outside, nobody ever saw that. You know, I was always, like I said, there was no chink in the armor there. But, you know, when you talked about those myths, you know, I realized just when you're bringing them forward instantaneously, just, you know, being, you know, I need to stop that, because that's part of the reason why I am where I am in my life when we talked, was because though I was doing those things and they weren't helping me get anywhere. And I knew that if I was going to get somewhere with you, that had to change.
Yeah, so what you had been taught or not taught wasn't helpful in any way. So how hard was it to unlearn what you had learned in order to learn something new? Or
I'll be honest with you, the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my whole life, especially when you love somebody as much as I loved my ex-girlfriend, you know, and always just believing she was the one for me. I didn't want to let go, and that was, you know, part of my problem, was because she was all the happiness in my life for 6 years, and she was still all the memories that I had. She was the happy ones that I had, and I, you know, I didn't want to let go. And, you know, no matter who you are, when you have those types of feelings, you know, it's almost like an addiction. It's literally the hardest thing to do. But, you know, I always, the one thing I hear from a lot of people is, you know, the will that I have and the character that I have. And, you know, that will is what pushed me to just, you know, you need to do this. And, you know, you don't want to, but this is going to change your life. So that will really pushed me across that edge and allowed me to let it go. You know, it took a lot of coaxing, but my willpower just helped me overpower that and got to me where I am now.
You spoke a little bit about the memories, everything that you, any time you drove past something, a song came on the radio, you told me that. Anything that reminded you of your girlfriend caused you pain at the time. What do you notice now? I mean, you must still hear those songs and you must drive past those familiar places. So how is it different?
You know, I just smile and, you know, it brings me more joy than it does. It used to bring me real sadness and pain. And now it brings me joy because now I've realized that, you know, even though we're not together anymore, you know, that was 6 years of my life that, you know, was not a waste. You know, it helped me grow up in a lot of ways and, you know, it gave me a lot of things that, you know, no one else could have ever given me. And, you know, you taught me how to just be happy about it. So when I see those things or when I hear those songs, it kind of makes me smile. And, you know, of course, yeah, it makes me a little sad here and there because I still think about it. But, you know, at the same time, more so, it just fills me with happiness. And, you know, it stays for a couple minutes and then it's gone. Whereas before, it just used to stew inside me and it would just be absolutely terrible. Whereas it's a couple minutes and I enjoy it and then it's gone.
I think it's really important for people to realize that the memories do fade. The grief recovery method is the tool that helps you complete the emotional pain that's attached to those memories. And so I think that you've said that that's true, that having gone through the grief recovery method, you are now able to think of the loved one and have fond memories and not have that emotional grip, that pain in your heart. Is that true?
Yeah, of course.
So there's hope for others that they could do the same.
Most definitely.
Awesome. You did a lot of personal work in a very short period of time, and you were always willing. What was the single biggest thing that you learned that you hadn't learned in school?
For me, I think the biggest thing was that the willingness to complete that three-step process right at the end after you had me do that timeline, and then every person that I lost, you had me write as many pages as I want, and it started with I'm sorry, and then I could write whatever I wanted, and then after I was finished with all the I'm sorries with one person, then I would go I forgive you for dot dot dot, and then I would do the same thing for that, and then anything that I wanted to know, I would write that down too. And the biggest thing for me with that was that if, you know, I learned that if I had even just written those things down, because everything was so cooped up inside of me and I didn't want to talk to anybody about it, you know, and I had nobody to talk to, it is a better way to put it, just writing them down and it literally coming off of me and me feeling better as I was writing it down on the page, I wish I had known that before, because then I would have just started writing my feelings down instead of the process that you taught me. I wish I would have learned that a lot earlier, because then I would have just wrote down my feelings and I think I wouldn't have been so cooped up with all the emotions and the feelings that I had.
So having a method and a way to process the emotions is the thing that you took away, the thing that you didn't learn in school. Yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
Awesome. We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, Chase will tell you about how learning what he wasn't taught in school has changed his life.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Get motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back to our fourth episode of 50 Shades of Grief. In this episode, we're talking about grief and what they don't teach you in school. Joining us is Chase Dobler. Chase, we were kind of joking on the break about how things changed for you after you completed the grief recovery method, and especially with the relationships with your parents and some of your friends. Would you share with us some of those things?
Yeah, the biggest thing that we were kind of joking about is, right after we finished our program there and just about to leave to go back to Missouri State, and just the way that I was treating my dad, and I guess the way that I was acting, I was staying with him at his place, and he just said that the program that I did changed me, and he didn't like it because that's not what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to go there and I was supposed to talk, and that was it, and it wasn't supposed to change me. And I wouldn't say he was upset, but he wasn't all too impressed. And obviously, my mom and dad being divorced, they aren't huge fans of each other. And my dad seemed to pawn that one off on my mom and pretty much say that, blame that one on your mother. And that was, it was kind of funny. But then I kept doing it, and I kept treating him that way, and I kept acting that way. And it's like he totally forgot who I was before then, because now I'm like that now. And he responds to me totally different. He doesn't think I'm weird anymore. He responds to me the way I respond to him. And, that's something that has really changed in our relationship, because before he was a coach first and a father second. And he was always all over me about so many different things. And then after, I went through the process with you, and then I started to treat him differently. Just the feelings aspect of our relationship is what really started to come out. And now anytime do I talk to him, he tells me that he loves me all the time and how proud he is of me. And those are things I never heard from him before. I spent my whole life trying to impress my dad. He played professional hockey for 12 years, and I always wanted to follow in his footsteps, and I'm close, but I still don't feel that I live up to my dad's expectations. And so I've always been trying to impress him all the time. And so feelings were never a thing in our relationship. It was always, you need to be better, you need to be better, you need to be better. And now it doesn't really matter. All he ever tells me is how proud he is of me, and how good I am at this, and how the great plays that I make here, and how proud of me is in my own, and just natural life, not just hockey, and how much he loves me all the time. And it's just it's funny how it goes from him saying that he doesn't like the way that I'm acting till he's now that he's totally forgotten about it. And, you know, we have a great relationship. And, you know, it didn't, you know, my mom noticed the change, but my mom was happy about it. You know, I wasn't very what they would call feely when I was with my mom. But now that you gave me that process and the method, I now that I treat my mom differently, my mom really enjoys that too, because obviously we have a better relationship than we had. You know, and there was always some friction there because, you know, I held some things against my mom that I never should have. And then with the method you taught me, I learned how to just, you know, get past that and just love my mom for being my mom, because she's given me a lot and there is no reason for us to not have a good relationship. You know, I did the same thing with my brother, and, you know, obviously age is a big thing. He's 5.5 years older than me, so for the most part, when I was younger, we were always at each other's throats, but now that we're both grown up and, you know, obviously you gave me that method, I've treated him a lot differently and he treats me a lot differently now, and he's never really noticed the change, because we've never spent enough time together one-on-one for him to notice that I'm different. But, you know, I know that he likes, you know, the young brother that he has now, and he never used to. He wanted to strangle me half the time, but he doesn't want to do that anymore, so... you know, all my friends felt that way too. So, you know, ever since I've used the method, and over the last year and a half, not just my old friends, but my new friends that I've made, they really respond to me differently. You know, and that's a good thing, because, before they never used to respond to me, emotionally the way that they do now.
So by healing your own heart, you've now changed the relationships, not only with the initial relationship was the girlfriend, but what I'm hearing you say is you changed the relationship with your mom, your dad, your brother, and your friends, old and new friends.
Right, yeah? And it's amazing, you know, how just I don't want to say it's a small thing, but honestly, it really is. Like, it just took just a little thing to change the way that I talk to them, and it's made all the difference in the world.
And I think it's great that you think it's a small thing. You know, it was a lot of work, but for you to tell others that the work paid off and it was a small thing and a small shift in who you were being with others has created all of this change around you is phenomenal. Really.
Right. You know, it is a big shift. Like, you know, when you're set in your ways like I was, it is a big shift. But now looking back on it, it really is just that tiny of a shift. It, you know, it was just an inch. It wasn't a foot. It was only an inch.
I'm guessing it was an inch because you were 21. And if you were 40, 50, or 60, it might be a foot. Because you just said you were set in your ways at 21. So imagine what some of us are set in at the ages that we are.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Once you completed the grief recovery method, do you remember when you were getting ready to leave and you were trying to explain to me how you were feeling, and you were telling me that you felt physically lighter, but you didn't think that I would understand? And at that point, I told you that I saw it as you coming to Calgary with this great big hockey bag full of emotions, and that you were dumping the bag before you got on the plane. Can you remember that feeling? Can you tap into it, and can you share it with others?
You know, it's been a while, for sure. That's almost a year and a half ago. But you know, I physically just I remember after we finished, and just standing up after I was done, and, you know, have our last step of the method, and standing up when we were finished, it was a physical feeling in my stomach. It felt like I was floating a little bit, like when you get to the top of a roller coaster and you're ready to go down, when you get to the top and you kind of like suspend in your seat a little bit right before you go down. That was kind of the feeling that I got, and not like the, obviously, usually that follows with nausea, but I didn't feel sick after that. I just, you know, that it felt like I was floating, and I had never really felt happier than that. You know, it's physically, it's really hard to put into words, but if I could describe it, that's the way that I would put it. It felt like everything inside of me was just lighter, and it felt like I was floating.
Do you remember we talked about the emotional loss pot and how letting go all of those emotions was cleansing your emotional loss pot?
Right.
You remember? So is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
A real purging of the emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
When you went back to school, you told me, too, that you were different on the ice. So you felt physically lighter.
Yeah.
You dumped all the emotions.
Yeah.
But you weren't the only one that noticed that. Your dad and your coach noticed. What did they say to you when you got back to school?
My coach, just, you know, first week back to practice, and, you know, he said he just saw something in me. He goes, just the, you know, ever since I got back to Missouri, he sees, you know, I'm so much happier, and he can just see it in my eyes. He couldn't really pinpoint what it was, but he goes, you sure needed that break, because, you know, after our first weekend of games there, I turned from being a 5'6" defenseman, and I was number 1-2 on our team, you know, and my dad saw the same thing, and, you know, I credited it all to you. I said, you know, I had some healing I had to do when I went home, and I did that healing, and I went back to Missouri, and now that I'm healed up, I said, you know, all that weight that was, you know, like you said, that I brought to Calgary and I left when I went back to Missouri, I was no longer dragging behind me when I was on the ice. Now I was completely free. And that's what they saw. Where before, you know, my dad and my coach, the reason why he recruited me was because he saw what I was capable of. And, you know, I wouldn't say I let him down in the first half of the year, but he knew there was more. And the second half of the season there, right as it began, he knew that he was going to get more. He could see it, you know, and he was so enthused and he was excited that, you know, it didn't matter to him what the healing was, what I had done. That wasn't important to him. He just knew that he was getting a premier defenseman back like he had wanted. And, you know, he was looking real forward to it. And I had a great second half of the year. And, you know, same with my dad, same thing. He saw the same thing. He goes, I just watching those first two games on the internet, he told me, just, you look different, you know, and you just, the step that you have, and, you know, you're quicker making decisions, and you're, you know, it just seems like you're flying up and down the ice. And he goes, you didn't have that step before. And so, that, you know, and obviously it made me happy too. And I felt great. I did, you know, stepping back out on the ice, it just, there was, and I felt it physically. There was no longer anything sitting on top of me or dragging behind me, you know, to bring on the ice with me. I was finally free. And it had been a long, long, long time and since I had felt that way. You know, and it made me happy that other people could see it. You know, my teammates even said it too. They're like, you know, you're playing great right now. It's, you know, whatever you did when you went home, it doesn't matter because we're so glad that you're playing the way that you are. And, you know, it's great to hear other people say those things because then I know it's working. You know, it's not just me that feels it. Everybody else sees it. And, you know, obviously, as a person, you always care what other people see. And, you know, it was great to, you know, not only my teammates, my coach, my dad, but, you know, just even normal fans just, you know, coming up to me after games and just being like, you know, we expected to get something from Canada, but, you know, what you've brought to us, just completely unbelievable in the second half. So,
fantastic.
It was special. It really was.
Yeah, that's awesome. What great feedback to get to when you returned to school. I mean, like you said, you were feeling it, but it's always nice to have that affirmation that what you've done and what you're feeling is visible to others. We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, Chase is going to talk to us about how he continues to use the tools that he learned through the life coaching that we did nearly 2 years later.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Where can you listen to some of the world's top life coaches ready to share success tips and entrepreneurial guidance? The Voice America Empowerment Channel will do just that. Hear about personal growth, building a better business, inspirational life stories, and personal branding. You'll find it every day at VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight we're talking about Grief 101 and what they didn't teach you in school. And joining us is Chase Dobler. Chase, we've talked earlier about the grief recovery method, but we also did some life coaching together. And I'd like to share, like you to share now, what it was that you learned during the life coaching that we did that was significant or different for you.
Right. The biggest thing for me when we did our life coaching there after the method was finished and over and done with was that for me, it was just you'd always just introduce like little things every week. It was nothing big. We always just, you'd talk about, you know, what happened during that week. And then, you know, you always introduce the one little small thing. And the small thing for me that was the biggest thing was listening to my heart. You know, you just told me that every single day when you get out of bed, just go in the direction that your heart takes you. And so I always put a little reminder on my phone every single day that, you know, alarms me at 9 a.m. every single day to listen to my heart. You know, it's, and that's for me has made a really big difference in my life. And I never forget to do that.
You still do it
every single day.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I didn't know that. So when we talked last week, when we were, talking about the interview and the things that we wanted to share, you told me about an event that took place at work and how you handled it. And, you know, it was very rewarding for me to hear that the tools you had learned had become a part of who you are and, you know, basically who you are, what you do throughout the day. How easy or hard is it for you to remember those things?
You know, for me, it's not that hard because, you know, I love the job that I have, you know, being a professional athlete. It's a dream. You know, there are very, very small amounts of people that get to do what I get to do for a living. You know, so for me to do that work every single day and remember the things that you taught me because I want to stay where I am, it is pretty easy because I don't want to lose it and I will do whatever it takes to make sure that I don't. And so for me, it's pretty easy to remember them every single day.
Was there ever a point where it was effort? Did you have to consciously think about what you were doing?
Yeah, it was, you know, right after, you know, we finished. It took a lot of mental concentration and a lot of mental power because at that time I had a lot going on in my life still. There was, you know, exams and things going on at school and nationals for hockey and there was a lot of things going on. So yeah, it was tough to keep it straight, but you know, after everything kind of cooled down, I went back to the book and I went back to the things that we did and, I made sure that I didn't forget any of it because, you know, those things you taught me, I need to carry them through my life because, you know, it's turned me into somebody that I never thought I was going to be. And I'm proud of that person, and I do not want that person to go anywhere.
I like what you're pointing to as far as, you know, you had a lot on your plate. You were busy. And we can often say that we're too busy to do the things that we've learned or to practice the things, but you made it a part of your day. Do you have any tips or tricks of how you did that?
I would wish I did, but what I get from many, and I've gotten it from you several times, is that there aren't a lot of people that are like me. But, you know, the one thing is, for most people, you got to ask yourself if you're willing or you're able. You know, in all honesty, just about everyone is able. And the willingness part, you just really need to sit and look inside. And, you know, if you're willing to, you know, take 5 minutes, that's all it took, just 5 minutes. And I know that, you know, doesn't seem like a lot, but for some people it does. I know everybody has 5 minutes free in their life every single day. There's, you know, 5 minutes before you go to bed. That's when I usually did it, because that was the only time I ever got to cool down, was when I was going to sleep. So I took those 5 minutes, and they made all the difference in the world. And, you know, 5 minutes when you get up, 5 minutes when you go to bed, quite honestly, 5 minutes in 24 hours is not a lot of time.
So it's small steps, right? Little changes every day. I think remembering what your goal is, why you're doing it, is important.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're speaking to a universal audience tonight, and our listeners are from all over the world, and they're all of all ages. What words of wisdom would you like to share as far as your own love, loss, grief, and life experiences so far?
You know, it's a real tough question to answer, but, you know, if I could, you know, say anything to everybody who's listening, is that, you know, it is a part of life. You know, you lose people, and, you know, things happen in your life that, you know, you don't plan for, and they bring about feelings that, you know, you obviously don't want to feel. But, you know, the thing is that every day is new, and every single day you get out of bed, you know, you need to be happy for the things that you do have. And that was the one thing that, you know, I realized after we were done, was that I wasn't being thankful enough for the things that I do have, because the people that I have lost don't have those things anymore. And I still do have them. You know, I have a roof over my head. I have a bed to sleep in. I have food in my belly. You know, and those are three big things that a lot of people tend to forget about. You know, and we need to take the little things in life, and we need to be happy about those things, because life is way too short to be unhappy. And that was something that, you know, I realized after being completely miserable for almost an entire year, that, you know, I'm never going to get that year back, because I wish I had been happy the whole time, because I could have been. You know, just because I lost her and it was terrible didn't mean that I had to be unhappy for the rest of my life. You know,
awesome. Yeah.
I think
it's really important to share the gratitude, right? To understand that it is, you know, it's important to look at what you have, to acknowledge what you've lost, but really to acknowledge what you have. Chase, I'm going to have to wrap up, and I really want to thank you for being here tonight. I think that you are an inspiration because you've done this work at such a young age. You've got the tools now. You're going to carry them with your life. And I want to wish you every success in the world. Thanks for being with us tonight.
It was great to be here. Thank you very much.
I'd like to take the last couple minutes to teach you something else that you weren't taught in school, and that's how to listen from your heart. According to Brené Brown, the thing that people want most in life is a sense of love and belonging. And I can tell you from experience that both of these are available to you when you learn to listen with your heart. If you remember from the first episode, I shared a poem, The Invitation, and it spoke about whether or not you could be with pain, yours or another. One way to do this is to learn to listen with your heart. So here's the exercise I'd like to leave you with this week. This exercise is designed to support you in creating the space of vulnerability for yourself and for others. It's designed to support you in practicing how to share yourself and your heart with others. It's designed to support you in creating love and a sense of belonging. It's designed to support you in learning how to listen with your heart. The next time you're in conversation with someone who is grieving, or even sharing a grievance about something, allow that person to share themselves fully. Allow them to speak their emotional truth without moving to fix them or remove their emotional pain. Just allow them to speak from their heart as you listen with your heart. Pay attention to the feeling that emerges in the space. When two hearts connect through wholehearted listening, you will feel love, like a presence. You will have an experience of wholehearted living. This isn't something you were taught in school, but it is a gift, and you can share it with others. Try it for the week, and please send me an email and let me know what opens up for you. Let me know what you're learning, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what you're feeling. This is a new way of listening, a new way of living. Next week, I'll be joined by Ashley Hugenberg. Ashley is a registered psychologist and certified grief recovery specialist in Edmonton, Alberta. Ashley is the owner and operator of Lasting Solutions Psychological and Grief Recovery Center. We'll be talking next week about grief and your health. We'll discuss the very real physical and mental health implications of unresolved grief, and we'll answer these questions. How does unresolved grief show up? What are the risks of continuing to suppress and carry the unresolved emotions of grief? What can you do to heal your heart and improve your health? From my heart to yours, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us this week. 50 Shades of Grief with your host, Melody Dawn, can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please tune in next week to learn more.